Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
John Harbaugh met with the media for a final look back at Sunday night's loss to the Patriots.
Good seeing everybody. Appreciate you being here. Had a chance to look at everything and study it and talk to all the coaches and see a few of the players. And we have a short week, quick turnaround. We'll be back in tomorrow with the players, so we'll have to have our game plan ready tomorrow, at least getting started on it with the first and second down plan tomorrow when we practice. And be getting ready for Saturday night for a game that, you know, we will be all in to play our best football, our most complete game of the season. That'll be our goal, and come out with a win. What questions do you have?
John, do you have any updates as far as Lamar and his back?
Lamar has a back contusion, painful, certainly. Saw him in here getting treatment this morning and this afternoon early. And he'll be working. He's been classified as day-to-day on that. Nothing beyond a contusion, but I don't want to minimize the severity and the pain level of that because it's legit, and that's where it stands.
A lot of talk about Derrick Henry's lack of usage in the fourth quarter in the last two possessions.
There's a sense of a rotation. Kyle, it was a rotation to have Keaton Mitchell at the time. Who decides the rotation, and if not you, why not say, no, this is Derrick Henry. We need to have him in the game right now.
Yeah. Well, we have a rotation. The rotation is Derrick and Keaton are first and second down backs. And we came to that in the last few weeks and made sure that on all those plays, it was one of those two guys. That obvious pass was third down only for Rasheen, which I think he had nine plays on. And then the rotation was 2-1 as far as starting the series off. And depending on how long the series goes, you know, Derrick gets three, four, five runs, and then he's ready. He needs a break. So Keaton comes in, or vice versa. The last series was a conversation between Willie and Derrick, and they decided that Keaton was going to start the series off as part of the rotation, and that Derrick was going to come in that series. If I had looking back on it right now, to your point, I'd have grabbed it and I said, "No, I'll put Derrick in the game." You know, but that's not really the way it works in real time. It's the guys doing the rotation, the coach doing the rotation, and it's also the plays that are called. Certain plays are set up for Keaton, and that opening play was more of a Keaton play of the series. So I think that had a lot to do with him starting the series, and the idea would bring Derrick in after a few plays. I would have at least probably would have wanted him in after we got the first down, you know, if I'd have grabbed it, if I'd have seen it. But I'm also looking at the play that was set up on first down. Was a play-action pass initially. That's a sweep play that Keaton takes most of the time, so that's going to draw eyes and draw attention to the play, and I can see why you'd want to put Keaton out there in that play. So I think there's a lot of layers to it in game. Things are moving fast, and that's the way it goes. And you look back at it and you say, you know, I think there's logic going the other way for sure, and you just put Derrick out there for whatever the play is, and we'd have all been happy with that as well. So that's how it went.
Real time, were you aware that Derrick could not touch the ball after the second TD? How much conversation do you have?
Well, we're talking about six plays. So we're talking about six plays that went back-to-back in a series, and we're trying to get the first down. So, no, the conversation is not really geared toward, you know, who's going in the game on a play, because plays are getting called fast, and players are running on the field fast based on the game plan, what the rotating coach decides to do, what the tag on the play is, and who's got that play. And there's reasons for all that are game plans. So I'm not defending all that. You can pick plays or who goes in or when they go in. But it's not just as simple as, oh, Derrick Henry didn't play the whole fourth quarter. You know, it was those plays back-to-back. He was going to go in. That was part of the plan. And it was felt in making those decisions, guys running on and off the field as plays are being called in the rotation to go that direction. Yeah, as I look back on it, I'm like, sure, I see the point. But I'm also not in the midst of saying, time out. You know, Keaton, come on. I want Derrick in the game in that moment. So that's a reality, too. So just I'm not trying to make excuses for it, but trying to put it in perspective. You know, that's how it works.
I guess I'm asking, though, is there a communication or maybe even an intervention with Todd saying, hey, we need to get Derrick on the field or get him more involved?
Well, I think I just answered that. In that fast, real time, as those plays were going and those plays were being called, and that player's going on the field, and he's on there for that reason, for that play, I'm thinking about the play. Is it going to work? Maybe what the next play is going to be, and what our fourth down idea is going to be if we get – if we're 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 yards out or whatever it might be situationally. So there's a lot of things you're thinking about, and it's not necessarily always, oh, man, I'm going to have to answer for Derek not being on the field on this play later if it doesn't work. You know, that's not what you're thinking in real time, just being honest.
Just for clarification, I know you're saying it's a very speedy process. So in the case of, like you said, you guys did get the first down before ended up punting on that second and last drive. If you were to say we want Derek to go in after this.
Yeah, of course. I could definitely. Absolutely. I've done that before. I put players in. I've taken players out, put defensive players in, put rushers on the field during the game, in real time during the game when I see that stuff. Absolutely. But I knew what the play call was and what there's a check. It was actually a check with me play. I knew what it was. And I knew the idea was to get Mark the ball over the middle off a fake toss sweep that Keaton's been running pretty effectively and that they think he's an outside runner and that they're going to run to that play. And then the defense itself, the look checks us out of the play. So, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of layers to it.
On a fundamental level, though, isn't the thought, at least for a lot of people, is Derrick Henry was signed to be in the game at that time, at both times of these games.
Yeah. I'm not arguing that. That's why I'm saying if I look back at it now, I'd rather have him out there. Absolutely. I'm not arguing that at all on a fundamental level.
On the other side of the ball, I mean, when we talked to Kyle Hamilton after the game, he said it got to the point where we knew that Drake May was going to drop back and throw on almost every play, and yet he's still able to propel them down the field on those two touchdown drives. When you look back at it, why was he able to be that successful on those drives?
He made a lot of good plays, and we didn't make the plays we needed to make. I mean, we had opportunities. You know, we had the ball in our hands a couple times. We had a chance to bat a ball down in a critical situation. We had chances to sack him in the backfield. We got him sometimes. We hit him sometimes. Sometimes we hit him. We got there and the ball was out and guys made great catches. I mean, all the plays you saw in the game are the things that I saw, you know, and that's why. It's what you saw transpire during the game, and that's what happened.
Have you had a chance to talk with Mark about that play where he kind of just laterals the ball, that he kind of talked about what went through his mind at that point?
Yeah, he said he made a mistake. He said it wasn't smart play.
John, did you talk to Tyler Luke came up short on a kick that, I mean, that's not a kick he would, we've seen him kick longer. Was that just not a struck ball, or what did he say about that kick?
Yeah, he didn't like his technique on it. I watched it this morning with him, and his timing on his start was off, and it just messed up his footwork a little bit and ended up pushing it. Got under it a little bit and pushed it right, got a lot of rotation on it, and that's why it came up short. I'm certain he's capable of making that kick. But it wasn't a good approach to the ball.
John, how serious is Voorhees with the foot injury, and how did you think Henry Jones filling in?
I don't know how serious. I don't think it's another day-to-day one. You know, we'll see how it goes. I thought Henry played okay. You know, I mean, there's going to be plays that he's going to want back from a pass protection standpoint. But he competed. He's tough. He looked like a young player, but he looked like a good, talented young player. So I was really happy about that, you know. But there's nuances involved there that he's going to want to keep improving on. But you improve on those things by playing. There's no question about that. And I believe he's got a great future.
John, maybe say someone like Zay, who's, you know, you want him to stay confident, but the ball security issues continue to kind of linger with him. You know, just as a young player, how do you kind of coach him through that?
We had a conversation during the game, you know, about some of the plays he was making, and he was doing well. After the game, the last play or two of the game, I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it yet. I didn't see him in the locker room with all the media stuff going on. But I'll talk to him in a sense, you know, just like I did the last time and the time before, about trying to build in, you know, the idea that, you know, practice makes your habits, you know, and you've got to continue, and nobody practices harder. The thing about Zay is he works really, really hard at practice, and he focuses on those things. And yet, man, the ball gets punched out, you know, from a blind spot. So we just got to keep on working on catching it, putting it away, and getting upfield and protecting the football. When you're in traffic like that, when you're in what we call catch and run puncture type situation in the middle of the field, that seems to be where the issue is. So, or going to the ground, that's the other issue. So try to keep working on those things like you would with anybody from a technique standpoint and also from an emphasis standpoint. But you don't want to just – you want to keep believing in a player like Zay. Like, you got a talented player like Zay who is a playmaker in every sense of the word for you, who works really hard and cares a lot. As a coach, that's not a throwaway. That's something – you want to embrace that player and that person because they deserve it, and that's your job as a coach. Is do everything you can to help him work through it and become better at that one area that he needs to continue to improve. And the good thing about Zay is he'll tell you, he understands. You know, he wants to improve on that. He doesn't want that to happen.
We talked about this with Lamar. I mean, I know you never want to sort of step on the instincts of an excellent playmaker like that. But with Zay, do you ever think about telling him, you know, there are situations where you don't want to try to make the extra move, where you do just want to get upfield or get out of bounds or what have you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we talk about keep it simple. You know, the simple play is usually the best play. And then there's going to be plays where he's going to make an extra move and he's going to go make a bunch of yards, which he's done before. So you're talking about world-class athletes here, you know, that do amazing things. So it's not like there's a balance to it. It's just you have to respect the player. And then in that situation, you have to trust his ability to make those decisions. And over time, you know, those things need to be worked out. You know, he needs to you know, prove you right in that sense.
Before Lamar got injured, how well did you think he was playing in that first half?
I thought he was playing well. You know, I thought Lamar was competing and doing a good job and fighting and made some really good throws. I thought he was playing well.
He kind of thought it might have been like he was already down. Did you think there was anything with that hit at all? Was it late or?
It was close. It was close, but I don't assign any malicious intent to it by the player.
John, on the 4th-and-2, where you know Ardarius goes for the deflection, just looking at the game film, you know Stephon Diggs is probably their best receiver. I know you guys have so much faith in Ardarius Washington, but did you like that matchup considering just the talent that you guys have in that secondary for him to be in the slot against Diggs?
Well, that's the matchup that we had, you know. So that's the players on the field matching up. That's the way it works, the way the coverage is set up. And you know, you can't organize it everything perfectly after the fact. But I'm confident in Ardarius. I think if he doesn't slip, I think he makes the play. You know, he's going to get both hands on the ball. He might catch it. He knew the route was coming. I mean, he was very prepared for it. He was ready for that out route in the slot. And you can just see his feet kind of got tangled up. It's probably a function of he hasn't been playing a lot, you know. So if anything, but, you know, he's the best guy to put out there in that situation that we had, and we love Ardarius. I mean, he's made a bunch of plays. Before the play, I'm thinking he's going to make this play, you know. And if he doesn't slip, he makes the play. And that's the frustrating part of it. I mean, for all of us, for Ardarius more than anybody, but for all of us, fans and coaches and players alike, is that sometimes your best plans don't work out the way you want them to, you know. And we're off the field right there, just like Nate, you know, Nate makes a great break, great coverage, great eyes, great technique, everything you coach, the ball's right there, you know, it pops out of there for some reason. If he can get cradle that ball in there, the game's over. You know, those are two plays that end the game. So that's how close it is in terms of just playmaking that makes the difference in games like that.
Why has it been so difficult to get Rashad Bateman involved?
That's a really hard question to answer the way you put it, you know. The way the games go, where the ball goes, you can't control as a coach, you know. Even the play caller can't control where the ball goes. I mean, we had some play-action passes. We had one, I'm going to think out of my mind, we had a post route that came wide open, but he didn't have time to get him the ball, you know, because of the way the pass protection went on that play. He was off his back foot and he couldn't get him there. You might remember that play. Maybe that's one of the plays you're referring to. So it's different things like that, you know, that happened in the course of the game. I'll say this about Rashad. I mean, I was really impressed with the way he played, you know, and I think he deserves the ball more. There's no doubt. He's running really good routes, and he's blocking really well, you know, which you appreciate. So we want the ball to go his way, and I appreciate the way you asked the question there, Jeff, in that sense, because, you know, it's challenging. But, you know, we threw the ball how many times? 20 times, right? Ran the ball 33 times, threw the ball 20 times. We threw the ball in drop back 9 times. 11 of those times were run down passes that were play action passes or quick ball out passes, you know, for run type defenses. So you only have 9 true drop back passes out of 20 total passes. It's probably going to limit everybody's opportunity. We did get the ball to D-Hop, which we hadn't been able to do for a while. We got the ball to Zay 7 times for 7 catches. So that's where the ball went this game, you know. But also, I want, you know, Bate didn't play before. I mean, Bate wasn't playing for like 3 weeks, the high ankle. It's the first game he's been back, you know, in a month, 3 weeks. So the reason he didn't get the ball in the last 3 weeks, he wasn't out there. So he's definitely a guy. I mean, I appreciate the way he played. You know, I guess I look at it more like that. You know, we're going to try to get him the ball. The ball's going to go his way. But I watched the tape and I said, you know what, Bate played really well. And I felt good about that part of it.
Situation with Isaiah Likely. I don't think he's been targeted the last 2 games. Is that just circumstances?
I think so. You know, I mean, he was targeted against Cincinnati, but we couldn't get the throw off. You remember on that first down play where he ran the wheel route. So it's really the same answer.
Hey, John, recognizing, you know, there is still a possibility of a playoffs. You need help now. I get that. When teams don't make the playoffs, there's a focus on potential staff turnover. Do you have any fear for your own job security here, or do you anticipate being here next year?
Yeah. Thanks for asking that question, Bo. Well, first of all,
a lot of people are asking.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's a great question. I mean, it's a sports. It's how it works, you know. And one thing I always have believed is that, first of all, coaching at any level is a day-to-day job, you know, and your job is to do the best job you can today. And to do everything you can to help your players and your coaches, if you're a head coach, be the best they can be every single day. And it's never been about keeping a job. And there's no such thing as, like, your job or my job. You know, we have responsibilities. We're given opportunities to steward those responsibilities, and you're given a job to do that until you're not, you know. And then you try to do the best. I try to do the job, not try to keep the job. Because there's no such thing as having a job, just doing a job. And so my focus is on always, and has been for the last 18 years here and the last 41 years in coaching, or is it 42? It's up there. It's been to try to do the best job I can today and fight as hard as I can so the guys can have the best chance to be successful today. And anything after today, I'm not thinking about because, you know, it's not given for us to think about. We don't have control over that except for the job we do today. And if we do a good enough job today, then the opportunity to do that job or a different job will be there tomorrow. And that's what you hope for.
Along those lines, what has the dialogue been like with you and Steve recently? I mean, the last 3 home games you guys have lost, it's kind of uncharacteristic. What is his message? What is his tone in those discussions?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of messages. Steve has been fantastic. You know, he's a great leader. He's supportive. He's also challenging. You know, Steve wants to win. You know, he wants to be successful. He's one of the I've been around a lot of competitors, you know, in this job or even in my family, you know. And there's no bigger competitor than Steve Bisciotti. And that's one of the many things I admire about him and appreciate of him. So he's been great. He's been challenging in every great kind of way. And I appreciate that. And he helps me to be better. And that's what I'm grateful for.
Any of those discussions have there been talks about the future? Has there been any kind of assurances or anything like that?
No, the future is today. The future is the Green Bay Packers. I mean, that's what we're looking at.